Good afternoon. It's good to see you all along this afternoon to hear the message of the gospel. I trust that as we look at God's word, we will find an answer to some of the big questions of life, some of the big issues that people are facing, and the questions that people have. This is one of the greatest messages that you'll ever hear from God Himself, giving you an opportunity to trust in Him for salvation. I want to turn to the book of John with you this afternoon, the book of John, and read two verses. First of all, fairly well-known verses, simple verses, because I'm not overly intelligent, I don't claim to be, but the gospel is a simple message. It's not a complicated message. There's so much in the word of God about the Lord Jesus, about his character, about who he is. But in order to be saved, in order to have salvation and forgiveness of sins, we don't need to know all the ins and outs, but we need to appreciate that Christ died for us. And we need to be believing on him for salvation. So I want to read two verses, please. First of all, in John chapter 3, well known to many, I'm sure. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. John chapter 3 and verse number 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We'll just read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I've put over that a verse of simplicity. A simple message, a simple verse containing the necessary truth to be saved. And another verse, please, in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, please, and we'll read verse number 28. John 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And I've put over that a verse of security. A verse of security, because coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in him, you're secure, eternally secure, in the hand of God, and you shall never perish. I wonder if you've got that assurance tonight. I wonder if your life and your faith is entrusted in something that's secure. I wonder if you're trusting in something that will fail, or trusting in a system that will let you down, or trusting in something that's got no future. Trusting and the Lord Jesus, receiving from him eternal life, you shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck you from his hand. You're secure, secure in the hand of God if you're saved. If you're a Christian tonight, you can rejoice in the knowledge that you're secure. And no matter what comes of life, you're secure, eternally secure in the hand of God, and you shall never perish. This is a book of the Bible that's evangelistic. It's a book that is written and it contains so much of the Lord's life, his miracles. And in chapter 20 of the book it says, "But these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." So the purpose of this book is that you might believe. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And right throughout this book of John were examples. And there's examples right through the book proving that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was no ordinary man. He was no ordinary carpenter. He was no ordinary son. He was the Son of God. God himself manifest in flesh. There's seven things in this book, seven things in the book of John that is recorded about the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of him turning water into wine. We read of him healing a nobleman's son. We read of him healing a crippled man at the pool of Bethesda. We read of him feeding 5,000. We read of him walking on water, healing a blind man born from birth. And we read of him raising Lazarus from the dead. I wonder if there's any other man that can be written that he did all these things. There's no other man, there's no other figure in any world religion or any history book that you'll be able to read of that it's written that he did all these things. But they weren't written for his glory. They weren't written just to say, what an amazing man. They were written down, they were recorded that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. True life, true satisfaction in life is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what you rely on. I wonder where you get your joy from. Or are you out and you are experiencing pleasure for a time and you're waking up and you're still dissatisfied, you're still in your sin and you're going on and you're just thinking, I wonder, will life ever improve? Will life ever get better because the circumstances around me don't seem to be? That believing you might have life through his name. To know God, to have your sins forgiven, is to experience true life and to know him in a real way. But I wonder if you have any satisfaction in the things that you do, because these things were written that you might believe. They were written that they might prove that Jesus is the Son of God, because there's no other religious figure. You can look at Joseph Smith and you can look at Muhammad or Apostle Paul or any religious figure or any man of God in the Bible. They didn't have this intrinsic power that the Lord Jesus Christ had. He's a unique man. There's no one else like him. Only he. He is God's only Son. We read that in the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And it's a very simple verse, a very clear verse, a very simple verse. And the reason it is clear and simple is because it's a clear message. It's not a complex message. There are things that the people will try and take you away and they'll lead you down a path and they'll overburden you with so many rules and add-ons and do's and don'ts. And they'll complicate you and they'll give you so much information that you're left, how could it be so simple? Something that appears to be simple. Well, the gospel message is a simple one. And the reason it is so simple is that God wants you to understand it. God wants you to understand this message. And he wants you to believe it and be saved. That's why it's not complex. That's why the smallest child and the most simplest person can understand it. Because God has made it so. Because he wants all men to be saved. The Bible tells us that God is long-suffering toward us, willing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved. He's made it clear in his word. He's given you the opportunity to trust in him. But this verse, John 3:16, it very clearly tells us God's desire and how he has made it possible for whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Maybe you remember the song, maybe you've sang it. 25 words in John 3:16. No greater text has ever been seen. 12 about God, 12 about me, Son in the centre. That's verse 16, John 3. 12 words about God, 12 about me, the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ in the centre. Someone has written that for God so loved is heaven's brightest beam, that he gave his only begotten Son, earth's greatest theme, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish God's simplest scheme, but have everlasting life, life's purest stream. For God so loved the world. I wonder if you believe in God. I wonder if you think much about him. Because the Bible is God's word. But we need to start simply with that verse for God. There is a God. There is a God in heaven that every single person will be accountable to. There is a God in heaven that created this very world that you will have to give an answer to. Because there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Because in this country, we are very familiar with Christianity. We're very familiar with the concept that people believe there is a God. But if you were to go out to some other country, if you were to go out to the Middle East or you were going out to Africa, there will be gods many. There will be people and they believe in many gods. So it's very clear there is one God. And there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. But throughout the world, you think of Mormonism, Buddhism, Hinduism. They are all these religions and they're polytheistic. They believe that there are many gods. So it's a very simple point, but it's a very fundamental point. There is one God. And he gave the Lord Jesus Christ that we might be saved. But who is God? What has he done for me? Many people, I was speaking to someone recently, and they looked at their child, and their child was severely disabled. And they turned and they said, "That's proof to me that there's no God. That's proof to me that there's no God." But God created this very world. You can go and you can look on any mountain. You can look out into the universe and you can see the stars. You can see the universe. You can see his creation. And you can think, wow, only God, only a creator God could make this possible. And then you can flip side that and you can look into the human body. And you can look into nature and the smallest things in creation and how things all work together. And you can see surely there is a God. Surely there is a God. So he's a creator God and he sustains this whole earth by the word of his power. But that God that created the whole world, the God that created life, the God that holds your breath in his hand, is the same God that cares. He's a God that's interested. He's a God that is interested in your soul. And he's interested in your cares in life. Maybe you're going through life and you think nobody cares. And you think that there's no one to turn to. And you think that life just seems to go from bad to worse. Well, let me encourage you. God cares and he loves you. And he's interested and he sent his son to die for you. So that you might know true life and believe through his name. But for God so loved the world. No cause to love the world. When you look at the world, you look out and you turn on the TV or the radio or you pick up a paper or go onto the internet, you see that the world has rebelled against God. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I wonder if you believe that. Because I think it's a simple truth that it doesn't take much to prove to say that the Bible is true. Because you look into your own heart and you look out to the world and you see that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he had no cause to love the world, but such is the love of God that he gave his only begotten Son. God could have looked on this world and he could have looked with love and could have let it go on to judgment as it deserved, but his love was such that it was motivated to give. His love motivated him to give his only begotten Son. Our love is very different, isn't it? Our love is not like God's. Our love needs something in return. Our love needs to be given something in order to love back. But the love of God is much greater. There is nothing in us. There is nothing in you that God should love you. And there is nothing in me that God should love me. But he gave his only begotten Son, the best that he could give. Such is the love of God. Someone has written that love ever gives, forgives and outlives, and ever stands with open hands, and while it lives, it gives. For this is love's prerogative, to give and give and give. Such is the love of God. Because he has given the very best of heaven, he has given the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might believe, that you might have your sins forgiven, that you might know peace with God, that you might know life eternal, that you might know peace in your life. But he gives and gives because he loves. And when you come into knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that the Christian, the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We come into relationship with God, with the eternal Creator God. Such is the love of God. If the love of God had caused us to be saved from hell, it would be enough. It would be much more gracious than any of us deserve. But more, he has prepared a place for those that believe in him, that we might have everlasting life. He has promised us eternal life. He has given us his Holy Spirit. The love of God is greater and far beyond our comprehension. But I wonder if you're trusting in him, or you're relying on yourself and your own efforts or your own system for salvation. But God has not withheld anything from those that trust in him. He gave his very best. He gave his very best. But what did he give him to? He gave him up to a cross. The Bible tells us that he was numbered with the transgressors, and we read of that in Luke, how the Lord Jesus Christ was on a cross with two malefactors. The Bible tells us there was two malefactors led with him to be put to death. And on each side of the Lord Jesus Christ, there was criminals there for their own sin. We don't know much about the men on either side of the Lord Jesus, but we know this of a truth, that the wages of sin is death, and it had led them there. The choices that they had made in their lives had led them to the cross. It had led them to being crucified for their sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in him was no sin. He was there, dying for you and for me. He was there on the cross that we might believe on him. He was there that bearing the sin of you and me in his own body. Such is the love and the grace of God. But we can't imagine what it would be like to give up your own son. To give up your own. We think of Abraham and Isaac as he was there, sacrificing, to be taking his son, to sacrifice him at the command of God. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be Abraham. But I'm sure the relief would have came when God said to him, God shall provide himself a lamb. And the lamb that was promised then is the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was no substitute for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to die. The Bible is clear that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And so many people would try and play down the gospel. They would try and tell you that as long as you do your best, as long as you are an upstanding member of the community and don't commit any heinous sins or any heinous crime, you'll be all right. Well, the Bible tells us that our good works are like filthy rags in the sight of God. But we give thanks that God gave his only begotten Son. And the Bible is clear that if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall know your sins forgiven. And it's very clear here that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever, we sang it in our song, whosoever cometh, Jesus will receive. That means anyone. It excludes, it includes everyone. It excludes no one. It's very clear, it's open. And I believe that fully this afternoon, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what does it mean to believe? Maybe you've been coming to the gospel hall here in Kennaway for years, and you go out and you think, well, I do believe in God. I do believe that Jesus died on the cross. It's much more than that. It's much more than that. Are you putting your whole trust in him? Are you relying fully on him for salvation? Or are you relying on the fact that he died as well as the fact that you can do good works? Because you cannot add to the work of the cross. You cannot add to what Christ has done. He has provided a way. There's a song that says there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that all may go in. And Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Have you came to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you came to the cross for salvation? Have you believed on his name and received everlasting life? But it's very clear that the results of believing, of putting your faith, your relying on him for your eternal hope, the result of that is that you should not perish. Should not perish. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That means a lot more than that you won't experience heaven. That means that you'll be cut off and lost for all eternity in hell and brought up at the great white throne and cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. It's a serious thing to lose your soul. I wonder what you're gambling with. I wonder if you're aware of the cost. People would never gamble with their houses or their money or their cars. They would never put everything in to such things, but the 100% certainty is that you will die, and people are taking a gamble that after life it will be okay. That I can go through my life rejecting Christ and God and his love will be fine, and he'll let me into heaven. Well, let me tell you, God in his love has given the Lord Jesus Christ that you don't need to go through life gambling and worrying. He's giving the Lord Jesus Christ that you might be able to know security and you might be able to be found in the hand of God and never perish, for you're safe and secure. There's a story told of American troop ship and American Civil War, and there was these soldiers, and they came to their chaplain and they said to the chaplain, "Sir, do you believe in hell? Do you believe in hell?" And the chaplain said, "Well, no, I don't." And these soldiers turned to the man and they said, "Well, can you resign? Because if there's no hell, we don't need you. And if there is a hell, we don't want to be led astray." There's people in Kennaway, in Scotland, and they'll try and tell you that you don't need to worry about hell. You don't need to worry about the consequences of your sin. People will lead you astray. Do you think that anyone wants to come here and stand and preach and talk about hell? They would be very cold and callous to enjoy preaching about hell. But anyone that comes here and warns you of hell, it's out of love, because they know that they don't want you to be led astray and end up in hell in the lake of fire, because God has provided a way that you might be saved. They don't want you to go to hell without the knowledge that Christ died for you. and that you have an opportunity to trust in him. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not end up in hell in the lake of fire for all eternity, but have everlasting life. That is the true hope of every single believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you've got that hope. The hope of everlasting life. And despite everything that might come your way, despite the problems of life, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, when you trust in him, your circumstances, they're unlikely to change. And quite often the reality is that they might get worse. So no one can leave today thinking that if they trust in Christ for salvation, their life will become great and perfect. It won't. And the circumstances of life won't change in terms of your problems that you might face. But you can be certain that whatever comes in your way, whatever comes across your path in life, you're guaranteed eternal life. You're guaranteed heaven with God for all eternity. And you're guaranteed to have a shepherd, a friend, a saviour who will guide you through life. And he'll be with you in the troubles of life. He'll be with you in the difficult times and will pick you up and set you back on the road that leads you to heaven. John also writes that the Lord Jesus was praying and he says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." That is life eternal, to know God. Do you know God? Do you know salvation? Are you experiencing life from believing on his name? For God so loved the world. If you don't listen to anything that's been said, remember this verse clearly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a simple message, and it's simple because God wants you to understand it. He wants you to, by faith, grasp the truth that Jesus Christ loved you and he died for you on Calvary. I wonder if you know anything of security. As you speak to people, as you meet with people, I think Satan has gripped so many people, regardless of their social class, regardless of their wealth, regardless of their background. He has gripped them with fear and insecurity, anxiety, worries, depression. Because I'm sure that no matter where you go, whatever factory or office, or if you're going to London, people are worried. They're scared, they're insecure. And the more people have, the more they're worried that they're going to lose it. And the people are worried that they're worried about where they're going to get their next meal from. Throughout the land, throughout the social spectrum, people are worried and Satan has got them gripped by fear. But so many people, they're looking for the right thing. They're looking for the right things, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're looking for love. And they're looking for security. And they're looking for identity. But they're looking in houses and money and relationships and career. And they're looking for the right thing. But they're looking in the wrong places, because true life, true security, true identity, true love is only ever found in the heart of God. Because only God can provide you with that love, security, that is eternal, that is certain, that will never let you down. And John 10 and 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life." The Lord Jesus Christ, if you are saved, has given you eternal life. If you're not saved, he's given you the offer of eternal life. And they shall never perish. They shall never experience hell in the lake of fire. and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Maybe you are uncertain of your salvation. Maybe you're worried that you can never know for certainty if you're saved. And there's so many religions and there's so many systems, and that's so. They'll tell you, I can never know for sure. I'll find out when I die. Don't go through your life waiting to find out. Know of a certainty that you're saved. Know that you're in the hand of God, and when you're there, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. A verse of simplicity, a verse of security, eternal life with Christ, a certainty you will never perish. Someone has written on the subject of the love of God, could we think the ocean fill, were the whole sky of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Such is the love of God. Such is the love of God that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There's a hymn, and the first verse says, come to the Saviour, make no delay. Here in his word he has shown us the way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. I wonder if you will come for salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ and know eternal life and know certainty and security for the first time in your life, shall we pray?